For what are we, Almighty Yahweh, that you have called us the Shabbat to come before you and to remember this tremendous solemn occasion that you have made provision during the course of time in our lives, that we may lay down every burden, every trial, everything that restrain us, and enter into the presence of our Abba. So you commanded us to remember the Shabbat and keep it kodesh and set apart a time and a day that we may come into the tabernacle, the bed of our great King, to worship and to bless you, to assemble ourselves having the same purpose, the same mind, the same desire, that we may stand in the presence of our Abba to bless you, to praise you, to honor you with the words of our lips, to offer up thanksgivings unto you for all that you have done. So on this precious Shabbat, we come before you to bless you and to thank you mightily for all that you have done. As you have considered us all, brought us up out of the dungeon pit of sin and corruption, as Hamashiach, the propitiation, the fullness of the price paid, that you have redeemed us with the power of that true witness, that you are true, that your word is truth. It is an everlasting standard. We cannot defy that. So we thank you, precious Abba. We bless you, we esteem you for this wonderful time and this blessed day of the Shabbat. Thank you. Thank you for reminding us that we may remember this time with great attentiveness, with our mind, our thoughts, our desires, everything placed upon you. That this day and this time, as we assemble here and those that gather throughout the nations of the world in the time frame of the Shabbat, that they may be refreshed, revived, that they may be lifted up, esteemed and exalted, that they may be corrected and instructed, justized for the purpose of the kingdom work. We thank you, Yahweh. We bless you, our precious Abba. Those that are listening by live via the stream of the internet, those that will hear this message in whatever form it is, Yahweh, we pray that you will bless and strengthen them. We ask you to bless everyone that is listening, those that will receive a copy of this message on today. There are so many, Yahweh, that request prayer and ask for prayer, and we collectively here today and those that are listening, every need, we pray for the needs of those. Every circumstance, your healing power, your power of deliverance in the lives of your people, Yahweh, that you deliver them. You give them great fortitude and strength for the battle that they are in and the battle that is ahead. They shall know without a shadow of a doubt that there is deliverance in the hope of Hamashiach, the Lamb of Israel. So bless them, I pray. Open the ears of the hearers today, their eyes that they may see, their understanding that they may be wise, their knowledge may increase, that they may know that all things and everything that is delivered unto them has come by the power of Almighty Yahweh. For your word, your Torah, is the living strength in our heart today. And the witness of that truth is Yahshua HaMashiach, the Lamb of Israel. Without Him there is no witness of the life and the power of Torah living. Without Him there is no quickening of the truth and the power of the Torah that dwells in the heart of man. So we bless you today. We pray that the secondary broadcast, as it is retrieved by Brother Nathan, bless them all there as they join in with us in this fellowship today in your name. Strengthen him and all mighty pastors, those that love you, the evangelists, the prophets, the teachers, those that are called and elect according to your purpose. But strengthen us all today that we may rejoice in the hope and the promise of HaMashiach, because He is the power of the living Word. We know that your Word lives, Yahweh. We know that your Word is vibrant and that it is alive and that it is real, because it is deep down in the inward parts of your people. Help us all, I pray. Touch us all this day, this Shabbat. We pray for the Shalom of Jerusalem. We pray for your people in every nation. We pray for them that you strengthen their hearts and cause the Word to be an encouragement and a great enlightenment unto them all. We ask it all in the mighty name of HaMashiach, the Lamb of Israel. We trust you for the great victory. We know that we have the victory. Yahshua the Lamb. We bless you for that and we thank you. So let every song be sang with the delight and the rejoicing of knowing that our Abba lives and His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. We bind every foul, every unclean spirit of darkness. We set at liberty those that are bound, and set at liberty those that are captivity under the powers of Shaitan, that their minds cannot function in the liberty of the Ruah. They are free this day to receive, to hear, to understand, to acknowledge, and to know that all truth and all wisdom come from you, Yahweh, and that your wisdom is the enlightenment of the people and your people, that they may know the power of their Creator, and that we may know Him personally. So we bless you today. We thank you. So let every song resonate with great jubilation in the heart of your people. The acceptable time and the year of our great Creator, as we look for the coming of HaMashiach, the Lamb of Israel. So we bless you. We thank you. And we all praise you with the hallelujah way. Hallelujah way. Come on, lift your hands and jump up.
Hallelujah way. Hallelujah.
Come on, lift your hands and praise Him.
Thank you, Abba.
Come on, lift your hands and worship Him. Come on, lift your hands and bless Him. Hallelujah
way. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But what a great day that you have granted unto us. And I simply pray that you open up the ears of those that you intend to hear your way. HaMashiach said, I pray not for the world, Abba. I pray for only those that you have delivered unto me, given unto me, that they may be filled with the light to understanding of this profound Torah revelation. When they acknowledge me and understand who I am, then they will understand the fullness, the power with revelation and lively power of your words. And until they understand me, they will never understand the strength and the beauty of your Torah. They try to live it by the letter, but it cannot be. It must be lived by the power of the Ruah. Because every word that you proclaim is a word of life. Even in death, there is life in what you speak, Yahweh. And so I ask you today to touch the remnants of the seed of the precious woman, the house true house of Israel, scattered in every nation under the sun, every ethnicity of people, you touch them and strengthen them. They may know without a shadow of a doubt that the Abba lives and that He reigns in all the earth. There is not a nation that is beyond His reach, or His people beyond His comforting and protection. So we ask You to bless us all today, to strengthen us, that we may know that You are a helper. And this time of great trials, tribulations, and troubles, we ask it in the precious hope of HaMashiach, the Lamb, Yisrael. We all concur with You, my Abba. And we all cry, hallelujah, way. Hallelujah, way. Look to your neighbor and tell them, good to see you today. For this is the Shabbat of Yahweh. You may be seated. Do bless Him. And do praise Him. And do thank Him. Hallelujah, Yahweh. What a good thing to be in the presence of Yahweh. There's one thing about the house and Yahweh's people. There must constantly be an attitudinal correction. Does it take much for you to get an attitude? I don't like what He said. That's all right. I didn't like what HaMashiach said. It is not a consensus even among them that what Scripture tells us to do, if our brother or sister sins, and it's not a sin unto death, it is not one that separates them from Yahweh, then you have the power to pray the prayer of forgiveness. And the reason they don't do it, because there is no vitality and lively expression of truth in them. None whatsoever. So it's a generation that is given over unto vain words and words that are empty. As I was thinking the other day, one of the most popular magazines in America, do you know the name of it? It is called Vanity, Vanity, Vanity Affairs. Empty. No importance of value. And yet the people buy them by the millions of copies. Because this is a vain society. It is empty. It is the people that have no values at all. It is a people that cannot hold on to anything that is of truth, and that will produce a vitality, and that is a lively expression of Yahweh in them. That's the generation that we live in. It is a generation that has no regard for Yahweh, because it is one that despises what He says. Because everything that Yahweh speaks to you, it is against you. It is against you. It is for Him. But it is against you. Your will, your way, your desire. Well, what is my desire? Do you delight in Him? If you delight in Him, then He will give you the very desire of your love. And that desire will be pure. It will be righteous desire. Well, the desire of this generation is one that is very corrupt, very vile, and very evil. It is one that is based upon idolatry, and that is the individuality or the individual's desire. Is that based upon what Yahweh commands us to do? Is that based upon Yahweh's instruction? We instruct ourselves, we tell ourselves, we give ourselves encouragement even in our evilness, in our ways that are wrong. We strengthen the evildoer, and the evildoer, or the one that does evil, is the very issue of your heart that is produced from you. And so there is not a constant relationship with Yahweh, and that is why the minds of many are so perplexed. The minds are so twisted. There is no stamina. They cannot reason. They will not allow the word of Yahweh to impart His power and His strength in them. They have no ability to conceptualize and to understand what Yahweh speaks. It is a generation that is twisted. It is one that is twisted mentally. It is one that is twisted spiritually. Every single day in this nation and around the world, they spend $5.6 billion on gambling. This nation, its strength is in lasciviousness and concupiscence. That's why the daughters are running wild and the sons are full of whoredom. One of the most prolific industries in this nation, and that is transported to every nation, it is pornography, child pornography. It is this unsatisfying lust that is so corrupt that wives cannot satisfy it, husbands cannot satisfy it. And the reason why they have given themselves over unto the powers of darkness. They are inspired by the Paris Hiltons. They are inspired by these corrupt men that call themselves leading men. And they are open to every kind of vile, corrupt thing there is. And when one gives himself over unto acceptance of those gods, they open themselves over unto the worshiping of those gods. And that's why what the gods do, they will do it as well. Whatever the gods will perform, they will perform that. That's why you have segments of this society in this nation that this thing that we call, and they call this erratic music, it has the minds of the young boys twisted. The young daughters have no regard, no respect. And it has transposed itself into what we call Christianity as well. Because these are the powers of the world today. And they establish their godlike strength as procuring souls unto them, that everyone walk in lockstep with obedience unto them. So everyone moves the same way when they hear the rap music. Whether it's a white boy or black boy. Whether it's a white gal or black gal, they all move the same. The gyration is the same. The attitude is the same. The mentality is the same. It is all the same. It makes no difference at all. When one is inspired by Paris Hilton, their lust is just like the one that is inspired regardless of their ethnicity. It makes no difference at all. And the reason these things are happening, and the mind is so perplexed today and so troubled, because man has turned away from Yahweh's truth. And he's given them over unto the host of the Shemayim, of the heavens, to worship. And that is what they are doing. There is only one seed and one elect of people that will not succumb to the trouble or the great vexation, the great trying that perplexed the mind, whereby it cannot think, it cannot be rational, it cannot think Yahweh, it will not worship Him, it will not even bless Yahweh at all. Now that is a troubled individual. That is one that is a troubled individual. And when trouble begins to siege one and overtake that one, there is a reason whereby the anxieties and the pressures mentally and spiritually, why they have occurred in that one's life. And the main reason they have left off and rejected the Torah of Yahweh, and Yahweh has no importance in their life at all. Now, we don't want to accept that and receive that, but that is the truth. To his house, he is a very present help in the times of tribulation. He is a help to those that are going through troubling times and when troubles tend to mount upon them. When those that reject Torah, the word of Yahweh, he will not help. He will not give them any kind of assistance at all. And that is why we find the mind so twisted today. The mind cannot receive any kind of instruction at all. That is a troubled mind. That is a troubled person. A mind that cannot be at peace or appeased by Yahweh to awaken in the morning and to be very thankful that there is an oblation or there's life in that one. That's a troubled mind. When one, I will define that from the Hebraic reading. I want to show you what it means. The word trouble. I want to read that. It is not my definition. No. You do not have the authority, nor do you have the wherewithal to be the originator of anything. I am not, neither are you. It is a culmination and an amalgamation of different thoughts, ideas, and associations that we come or we derive at a certain meeting, at a certain thing, and an understanding of the principle of that historical fact. Now, you can write history in your own way. That doesn't mean that it is an accurate point or accurate statement of what has transpired. You began to tell someone about your life story. You add a little bit. You detract a little bit. You spruce this up, make that sound better. You don't want to know about that part, so you do not express anything on that behalf. Now, that's the nature of human being. It is one thing about Yahweh. He is all truth, and everything he says is the truth. So everything he speaks to the house of Israel, it is what they are. It is what we are doing. It is the mindset, the mentality of his house. So he speaks to us. He informs us what it takes to come up out of that bondage and how we free ourselves from it and how we are liberated with the mind of HaMashiach, that we are not caught under the power of that thing again. This generation is troubled about everything. The mind is perplexed. There's no reasoning. It cannot think right. It doesn't have the ability to understand the value and the importance of Yahweh. Because it is a generation that is full of trouble. The mind is troubled. Why? Because it hasn't been trained. It hasn't been nurtured the way it should have been nurtured. You cannot understand the dynamics of Yahweh unless they are taught to you. Let no one fool you. They tell you you can read scripture. No, Shaul said unto the house, study. What the Torah, the things that have been said and expounded upon, you will know that it is truth. And when you study the Torah, when you study the letters, you will know that it is of Yahweh, because there's a witness of his truth. We need that. The witness of his truth. And the profoundness of Yahweh's truth. A generation that is caught in a strait. It can't move beyond the flesh. It has no ability to move into the spiritual realm. It is caught in a strait. A narrow place. A narrow place of their own sins. Their own vileness and their own corruption. And the first thing one does is blame someone else. It is your trouble. And you are distressed and caught in that strait. You cannot move. You cannot manipulate it. Why? Because the mind doesn't possess the character of HaMashiach, nor the knowledge of Yahweh, to move beyond that strait that you are in. And you will never move beyond that. You will never have the strength to move beyond that. So you'll be caught in that fix. A vexation, you will be vexed. You will never have the ability to move beyond that unless the heart is transformed and the mind is changed, that it desires above all things to please Yahweh. It is not a generation that desires to please Yahweh. I believe what Scripture says, there will only be a few. You can reject it all you want to. There are few. There will be few that will truly be saved. Not many, but a few. A few that will truly be saved. That is why he encouraged you to save your children, save yourself from this twisted generation. There's a day of trouble, and the day is present. It's a day of trouble. It's a day of calamity. We see that in this nation and around the world. We see the perplexity of this nation. People turn to everything but Yahweh. They turn to every kind of schism and ism to maintain their flesh and a fleshly lifestyle. But when it comes to Yahweh, they will not adhere to what he commands. I said to my brothers yesterday as we were talking, Brother Dale and Brother Jermaine, it's one thing that Yahweh has done. He has brought an assurance to us that He has brought death. And it is a fact that every man, everyone is going to leave this earth. So what do we labor for? Do we labor in truth? We work out our own salvation, our Yahshua, with fear and trembling? Or do we labor to save our flesh? What do we labor for? If we labor to save our flesh, is all in vain. It's full of vanity because it's going to die. It's going to die. And if you labor to say that, then you have no understanding of spiritual truth. Because the truth of Yahweh lets me know that there is a day of resurrection. There's no hope for those that die and the promise and the hope of HaMashiach. And those outside, there is no promise. I don't care who it is. There's no promise at all. And this generation, because it is so twisted, because it is so troubled. Now, scripture, what I will read today, it is not talking to the world. It is talking to the house of Israel and Yehuda. It is talking to His people. And there is a preponderance of evidence that He's talking to His people. He is not talking to the world. He is expressing something to His people to let them know their condition, their attitude, and the reason why they are in the trouble that they are in, and their condition, what is the result of the thing that they have done that has brought about their condition. So it is the result of what you have done that have brought about the condition that you are in. If you are in trouble, you must trace it back and see what you have done against the Torah of Yahweh and rectify that with true repentance. So it's a generation that is troubled. It's a generation that is vexed. A generation that the mind cannot function properly. It's a generation that despises Yahweh. A generation that rejects His correction. A generation that will acknowledge its own sins and corruption. But Yahweh does, and He speaks to His house too. I want to define that words in the Aramaic term, trouble, before I proceed. It is to be in a strait, distress, a great distress, trouble. It is a time of vexation. And there's something that when I read it, it is a rival wife. Now this is what the archaic definition of trouble implies. A wife that rivals, that disputes, that speaks vociferously against her husband, that is what it is. And there is nothing more troubling and vexing than that in the home of a man. When a wife speaks this corrupt mind, this polluted thought process, and she tries to convey that I'm just as much as you are. Now, that's not the issue. The issue is that Yahweh has an order, and He intends for us to follow the order. It has nothing to do with one's worth. It is just the order of Yahweh, and He intends for us to follow that order, and if you defy it, you defy Him. You cannot defy Him without consequences. You defy Him, there will be great and grave consequences in your life. I want to turn to the book of Judges, chapter 10. Judges chapter 10, verse 13. Now, I want you to hear what I read to understand this and to conceptualize what Yahweh is saying. I want you to hear this. He says in Judges chapter 10, verse 13, we will never classify ourselves walking in this kind of attitude, will we? He says here, yet you have forsaken me. Is he talking to the Philistines, the Hittites? He's talking to Israel. He said, you are the ones that have forsaken me. You have turned against my Torah. You have turned against my instruction. And my ahava, my love, has no value to you at all. You are the ones that have forsaken me, and you have gone to serve gods, other beings, other deities. You have gone to establish idols and to serve gods that have no life and no power at all in them. We have the Britney Spears lookalikes, those that want to parade themselves like her. We have the rappers lookalike, that young men that their minds are so demented and so twisted they can't even pull their slots up on their buttocks. Don't even know the proper purpose for a belt. They do not even have the knowledge to tie their shoes up. If that is not a sad, twisted mind, something is wrong. They don't even possess the character to understand what character truly is. They have no concept of what it is. So he speaks to his people. He said, you are the ones that are forsaking me. And there are those that will say, forsake Yahweh for their wives, for their sons and their daughters. They will become very animated against Yahweh because of their corrupt son or their wicked daughter. They will despise Yahweh because he sends correction to their son or their daughter or their children. They will become very adamant in their disapproval of Yahweh because he shows them the very wicked nature of those that they have esteemed to the status of gods. And they will cry more over them than they will over Yahweh. They will cry for those kinds of things more so than they will that they are cleansed and pure and their minds are prepared to serve Yahweh. They will cry over a wife or a husband more so than crying over the sins that they have done and committed to reject Yahweh. When one sins, that one transgress or defies Torah and say Torah has no meaning. He said, you have gone and served your gods. Wherefore, I will deliver you again. He said, I will not deliver you no more. When Yahweh did not deliver the house of Israel, he took them into great bondage. And this is a generation of people. He said, I will not deliver you no more. He's not delivering them. This is a generation that's bound. This is a generation that is cursed. It is a cursed generation because this is the generation that has cursed Yahweh. I will show you as I proceed in scripture. He said, I will not deliver you anymore at all. I will not deliver you. I will not be your strength and your refuge and your comfort. And this is a generation that's trying to find it in everything, in some form of spirituality, in some form of accomplishment, in some kind of environment, and they still cannot find it at all because they have forsaken Yahweh. They have forsaken his mitzvot, his Torah, his teaching. They have forsaken that. And man has constituted his own teachings. He has constituted his own laws, his bylaws, that bypass the Torah of Yahweh. He has established his Sundays, his Jesuses, and his all forms of pagan identities that have nothing to do with Yahweh. They don't even serve his purpose. Oh, sure, he allowed Israel, he suffered them as they worship pagan deities. And because of his love for the Avats, he brought them back. Because of the promise unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, he brought them back. He says, but for this I will not deliver you no more. You have forsaken me. And when one forsake Yahweh, when they defy him, turn away from him. They turn their heart to serve gods and pleasures and things. He said, you will not even hear from me. I read that on Wednesday. How did he say that? When your time of calamities will come, you're going to cry out. When your afflictions besiege you like a whirlwind, you're going to cry. And Yahweh says, I'm going to mock you. I'm going to laugh at you. Was he talking to the wicked? He was talking to those that had refused his instructions. And we refuse his instruction. It is embedded in us. We are taught, we're shaped in iniquity. Don't do it. And they still do it. Stop it, Betty. Stop it, Betty. Stop it, Gina. Stop it, David. Stop it. And we find it to be cute. And it's not cute. You instill the power of iniquitous practices in your sons and your daughters. And you wonder why their minds are twisted as the dungeons of hell, because your mind is as twisted as the dungeons of hell. He said, you have forsaken me. And I won't deliver you anymore. So what thing comes upon you, you're going to be bound by that. The next verse. He said, I tell you this, go. And cry unto the gods, your family lineage, your gods, your mama, your daddy, your sons, your daughter. Cry unto them, your wealth, your cars, your homes, your material lusts and your things. He said, cry unto your gods. That's what he said, cry unto them. Your rappers, the fat back, the Dollar Boys, whomever, Wu-Tang Clan. He said, cry out unto them, which you have chosen. You have chosen them. You have chosen your gods. He said, let them deliver you in the time of your sorrow, your tribulation, your troubles, your anxiety, your vexation, your calamity, your perplexities. Let them deliver you. And in this generation, nothing is delivering yet. You're seeking after the wealth of the world and they're not delivering it. They're seeking after the things that they think bring some kind of comfort to them. And they're bound. They're under bondage. Their minds don't function. Their minds do not produce the proper chemical balance in their bodies. And their minds are twisted. They cannot comprehend. They cannot understand. They don't know how to reason why. Because they have forsaken the discipline, the government, the instructions of Yahweh. And that's why the homes are twisted. Daddies have no power. Mama have no power. Children have no power. They go astray. There's no communal type of responsibility one unto another. It's just people cohabitating. Just living together. That's all it is. Like the beasts of the fields. That's what it is. Why? Because once you forsake Yahweh, there will be great troubles. Sorrow. Perplexities and anxieties. You will not know which way to turn. You will not know how to reason. And we find that today men do not have the ability to reason. They can't think right. They don't think straight today. Their minds don't function the way that Yahweh made it. Yahweh put in man something that was fabulous, that he named everything upon the earth. He put a mind there. Something is wrong when it's so twisted, so perplexed, so troubled that it cannot function right. And when man turned away from Yahweh, when he began to seek his own alternatives, he will never be able to function right. He will never be able to see what Yahweh has planned and what Yahweh is doing. His mind will never function in the capacity that Yahweh intended for it to function in. That is why he gave us discipline of Torah and teachings, that our minds will function after the fashion of Yahweh. And he fulfilled that in Yahshua HaMashiach, that he became the living response or the living power of Torah. He showed us the power of the quickening or the ruah, the spirit of the Torah. That power in us, we can live according to the instructions of Yahweh. And not by our own ways or our own delusional mind, but by the mind of the mighty creator that created us. Who would want to walk by our own delusions and not by the mind of Yahweh? That's why the mind is always troubled. It's troubled about every little thing. I don't care whether it's minuscule. I don't care whether it's complex. It's troubled. It cannot reason. It cannot figure out nothing. It cannot perform with the great capacity that Yahweh has put there. Because that mind has forsaken Yahweh. And when one forsake Yahweh, woe unto them. He's talking to his people. He says to them, go call on your gods. Call on your money gods. Call on your race gods. Call on your lust gods. Call on your filthy gods, your vile gods, your job gods. You call on them because your troubles are going to come. And this nation, we're going to see the climactic havoc in this nation like no other time. I know we don't believe it because the righteous knows. The righteous understand both time and judgment. It is just the wicked man that doesn't understand that. And it is his own ways that has corrupted him. No one has corrupted you. Your wickedness proceeds from your own heart. You can't blame no one. You can't say it's someone else's fault. It went wrong with your son. You just did not take the time and the proper nourishment there. That's just it. You can't blame someone else. Your daughter, it's you. Don't say because someone did something to them or someone influenced them. How does a Jezebel like Britney Spears or some dog like that influence your daughter to dress like them or to act like them? Because you have forsaken the Torah truth of Yahweh, you have not allowed the principles of Yahweh to be applicable and applied in your home, and you have allowed every kind of vile thing to come in. That's why. So you can blame all you want to. It falls squarely on you. You can say someone else is the reason behind it. It falls squarely on you. No other reason but you. Because you have forsaken Yahweh. You forsake Yahweh. You train them up when they reach that age. You turn them out like the goat or like the lion turn the lioness out. That's what you do. That is how it works. Period. And then you concentrate on saving me and no one else. You saving your soul. He said, because they have forsaken me, they have denied me, they have gone astray, I will not deliver.
and many are bound today. We have these pseudos today telling you that they're delivering people from every kind of demon. You know, it's always something that is not organic. The healing's always healing of depression, healing of oppression. Always those kinds of demons they're casting out. But we never see the healing of something's organic. A palsy, broken limbs snapped back in place, eyes restored. That's what HaMashiach did. But it is always something inorganic. Always. That one got healed of oppression demon. Well, if she get a wicked heart right and serve Yahweh and do right, she wouldn't have to worry about that. Well, he was delivered from sugar diabetes. Is that so? Yet it's never anything organic. Never anything you physically can see with your eyes. You don't see that. I don't care what they say. Do I believe that Yahweh still does organic healing? It's true. But if we can't believe the visitation and the power of HaMashiach, you're not going to believe it in organic healing. We see that in Scripture. You're not going to believe that. He said that these signs shall follow them that believe. But he also said, this is how all men will know you, my disciples, my followers. That you have the Ahava of Yahweh in your heart. You love one another. Why? Because you love him above all. And you have a great love for each other. That's what he said. And that's just the truth of the matter. Man has forsaken Yahweh. Has forsaken the principles of his Torah. And once you've forsaken that, you open up your home to every kind of vile thing. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Yahweh instructed the women to pray. He instructed them to pray. Women don't like to pray today. Women have no time for prayer, but they have time for every kind of frivolity and every kind of foolish thing it is. He instructed the daughters to pray. That was a calling. That is a precious calling of the women to pray for the headmen, for the headmasters, that they may sustain themselves and pursue the very things that HaMashiach commanded them to do. But nobody prays today. Nobody. We're concerned about the physical being, but we're not concerned about the spiritual being, the fullness of man. And that should be the most vital thing. We got time for everything to walk, to worry about our physical being. When it comes time for prayer, well, where's the element of that? And don't call anything like that because you become very perturbed. You're doing nothing, but you don't like to do that. Hallelujah, Yahweh. I want you to hear this. Listen to this. It's in the Apocrypha. I was talking to Brother Nathan this morning. He was talking about the book of Sirach. This is the book of wisdom. It's a very profound. There's some very profound things there. He said, you know, Pastor Roberts, if I did not know it was the Apocrypha, you would think you're reading somewhere from Ecclesiastes or somewhere from Mishli Tehillim. And that is the truth. I believe it is and it has the elements of Yahweh's profound instruction. I want you to hear this in 3rd Ezra. Ezra, hear this. Yahweh says this, then shall they be known who are my chosen. It shall be known who are my chosen. You hear this now. Yahweh said there's a time it's going to be known who are the chosen of Yahweh. It shall be known who are the chosen. And they shall be tried as the gold in the fire. Knowing that the trying of our emunah, of our faith, is more precious than that of gold. When it is tried, it shall come through as pure gold. He says here, now he says, hear, O you, my beloved, my people. He was not expressing this to the world. He said, I want you to understand the Shemak. I want you to perceive, to understand, to let it resonate, to fill your heart. I want you to hear, my people. Yahweh says, behold, I want you to look now, the days, not just day, but the days of trouble, the days of trouble are at hand. He says, but I will deliver you from the same. Only his people now. He said, I will just deliver you from the same thing. Now, if we are perplexed and distressed, are we his people? He said, I will deliver you. He did not say the day of trouble, but the days of trouble. There's a multiplicity there. The days of trouble. Now, if we are the people of Yahweh, then why are we troubled? Why is the mind perplexed? Why are we distracted? Because you have forsaken. You've gone astray from him. And he said, I won't deliver you no more now. He just said, I won't deliver you. And you're going to endure that with great afflictions and great trials and great agony. You're going to endure that because you have forsaken me. He said, but I will deliver you from the same. Be you not afraid, neither doubt. For Yahweh is your guide, and the guide of them, listen to this, he is only the guide of them that keep my mitzvahs, my commandments, and my precepts, saying, Yahweh Almighty, let not your sins weigh down, let not your iniquity lift up yourself. He is the guide of those that keep his Torah, those that keep his precepts, his instructions, his words that guides and prepares the heart of man. He will only guide those. He is not guiding those that will not keep his mitzvahs. He is not guiding those and instructing those that will not adhere or listen to what he commands them. He is not guiding them. It is a rebellious, wicked generation. It is one that is obstinate, very hard, adamant. Their attitude is wicked. It's wicked. It's a generation of an attitude that is totally wicked. He said, I will guide those that keep my mitzvahs. Remember my name. My name is valuable. Remember my Shabbat. Do not have these pagan idols before you. Don't even try to create an image of me in any form or any way. Not any way at all. Do not try to create me. Because I'm beyond the imagination of man. The perception of man can never perceptualize me. I'm beyond that. I'm greater than your imagination. Because our imagination is only evil continuously. There's always something evil there. Always. Always something evil. When we allow our imaginations to roam, it is always something evil there. That's why the Ruah of Yahweh comes and it leads and guides us into one thing, truth. That's what it does. And our imaginations never lead us in the truth. It leads us into despair and hatred and anger, jealousy and envy. It never leads us into truth. That is what our imaginations will do with us. When we imagine something about a brother or sister, it doesn't lead us to have a camaraderie, a compelling love for our brother or sister. It leads us to have this evil concept and this evil thought. That is not of Yahweh. It is not someone that is causing you to do that. It is your own evil heart. It is not a brother or sister that causes you to do that. It is you. It's the evilness of your own heart. It is your own corruption. It is not someone that has made you think or imagine those things. It is from you. And yet you have the childlikeness. Because you're immature, you will always blame someone else. It is one thing about children. When they are caught, when they are discovered, they will say, she did it or he did it. That's the way we are. That's why you're still like children. You're like little children. You got to get a little milk. Because the dynamic things of Yahweh, you cannot grasp them. You cannot eat them. You spit them out of your mouth. You give a baby some broccoli, they say, I don't want that. They spit it out. And so the things of great depth of Yahweh, you spit them out. They have no value to you. You don't love them. The correction of Yahweh, you don't have no love for those kinds of things. Why? Because you cannot see the reflection of your wickedness. When Yahweh shows you who you are, you forsake that, you reject that, because you say to him, I'm a bastard and I cannot be corrected. You are not going to correct me because I am of the seed of bastardom. And when Yahweh does not correct you, you are a bastard. You are a flat out illegitimate bastard. You have no birthright. You have no inheritance at all. Period. That's why he doesn't deal with you much. That's why he doesn't speak to your heart. That's why he doesn't compel you to do anything. He leaves you alone. Because he knows what you are. You're a bastard. You're not his. You're a retard. So he doesn't mess with it. Is Yahweh like that? Who destroyed the first world? Was it him? That's the way he is then. He means what he says. He doesn't bite with his words, or he doesn't change them. He doesn't change them at all. The only thing that he has shown to a people that is rebellious, he shows them mercy. He repents of his ways. Not that he has changed it, because he doesn't change his word. It always comes to pass, because he knows you'll go right back into that. You do it one time, two, three, four, five times. That's in you. You need to be delivered. You do the same thing constantly. There's a twisted mentality there. You continue to do the same thing. There's something missing in your mind. There's something in your spirit that's missing. And you don't want nobody to tell you that because you're arrogant and you're full of pride. You're full of your own wickedness and you can't hear. You're not going to receive it. Because a fool cannot receive anything. You're going to get yourself a block when you tell a fool something. They're going to show you how ignorant they are, how stupid they are. They're going to rise up in their folly. A wise man is one thing that a wise man will always do. He will always hear. He doesn't care what it is. He doesn't care whether he reproves him, whether it agrees with him, whether it shows him how shallow he is. He will hear that. Because of the pure, his mind is sincere. He will extract the purity of that. And that will be a judgment unto him that will keep him walking in the constraints of Yahweh. He wants to hear that. A fool is the one that doesn't want to hear it. But a wise man say, okay, speak to me. All right. I don't know why I did that, but that's all right. It's good. And then when you begin to dialogue, they say, well, you know what? I can understand that. I really needed that. I appreciate that. But sister, that is so wonderful. Bless you. That's not the way we are. We think very highly of ourselves, but we don't think highly of Yahweh. Yahweh always corrects us. His instructions is to chastise us, to correct us, to refine us, to show us our limitations, to show where we are falling off. And because of our conversation is so limited and so childlike, we don't know how to talk of the spiritual things. Because we don't have the mind of HaMashiach. That's why scripture says, Saul said, let that same mind that was in HaMashiach be in us as well. We need that mind. We need that kind of mindset. We have a mindset that is corrupt and foolish. It's not the mind of HaMashiach, because HaMashiach will not act and do the things that we do. He will not perform the way we perform. He will not respond the way we respond. That's not your HaMashiach mind. That's an ignorant mind. That's a Negro mind, or a white mind. That's a foolish mind, a Hispanic mind, an Indian mind. It's not the mind of Yahweh, period. It's a foolish mind. The mind of HaMashiach pleases Yahweh. It does things that please Him. It never forsakes Yahweh. That mind never. We forsake Him at the smallest of infraction. And those things should turn us to Him. It's a generation that is troubled. It's a generation that's perplexed. It's a generation that the mind is twisted. It's a generation that has no understanding of Yahweh. It's a generation that cannot hear. And that's the problem. Yahweh says His people, those that are His, the seed, He will deliver them. Only His seed. Why? Because the true remnant of Yahweh is not going to forsake Him. Scripture tells us in Hebrews, whereby there was a contingency of those that men and women of Emunah, of faith, they did not forsake Yahweh. Even though they did not see the fruition of the promise, they waited on that. They looked for it. They talked. Scripture tells us about the great faith of the great Emunah of the daughters of Zion. How their children were raised alive, how they looked unto Yahweh, how He fed them in the midst of drought and famine. Because they were daughters of faith. They were women of a great perseverance. They were women that loved Yahweh. They had a heart for Yahweh. Their mind was to please Yahweh. Not this generation. It's not a generation like that. We cannot please Yahweh. We cannot walk in the confines or in the instructions of Yahweh. We cannot walk under any kind of authority at all. There's nothing that's going to satisfy us. Nothing at all. Why is this so? Why has this come to pass? I want to read something for us in Scripture. It says in Zephaniah chapter 1. I want to show you something. Now I want you to follow this with me. Zephaniah chapter 1 verse 14. It talks about this day and the time of Yahweh. It talks about a great day. And the word great has the connotation of something that is exceedingly profound. The measure of it is beyond the measure of a day. But Scripture calls it the great day of Yahweh is near. Do we understand that? It is one thing about the tornado before it actually hit. Do you not get the remnants of water and winds before the actual effect of the tornado comes? So that's what we're having today. That's why many are troubled. Wives are troubled. Husbands are troubled. Wives rival their husbands. Husbands rival the wives. Shouldn't be. Homes should not be like that. Children rival the parents. Parents do not even have the concept of Yahweh to bring them up in the discipline of Yahweh. None whatsoever. They don't even have the fortitude. They don't even have the character at all to teach them, to sit down with them. Daddies don't even have the ability today. Mamas, they're so lost and so twisted, they don't even have the ability to even sit down and talk with them. Somewhere you missed it. No, it's not someone's fault that you missed it. You missed it because you were the same way. No one can instruct you. No one can talk to you. And that's your problem. He says, the day of Yahweh is near. So when the storm is approaching, as the storm approached yesterday, Brother Jermaine, Brother Dale, we were out there sitting. And we began to dialogue, and I said, well, I think it's not going to come, brothers. And all of a sudden, you could see the clouds began to change the coloration, the movement of the clouds. You began to hear the lightning or the thundering. And you could tell within the fraction of a moment there was a tremendous change. You knew it was going to be something that was very dynamic. And the raindrops began to fall. And I said, brothers, I think it's coming. And they all concurred, it's coming. And so as we began to proceed down home, all of a sudden the whole sky broke loose. I began to rejoice because we need the water. But before the storm came, we saw the elements of a storm preparing. And so what Yahweh is saying to you, because we are troubled, because our minds are perplexed, what do you think is going to be when His great day comes? When it's a great day of trouble, with perplexities, when the mind is so twisted, they will go about seeking any form of God and worship they can find to alleviate them from the pains of their affliction. He says, so the day is near. He said, I want you to understand, I will tell you the degree of that day and how that it will present itself. He said, it is near, and it hastily greatly, even the voice of the day of Yahweh. He said, even the mighty man shall cry bitterly. Even the men of great strength shall cry bitterly in that day. What have I done? Where have I missed it? Why I could see the conclusion of the whole matter? Even the mighty ones are going to cry. Even the theologians are going to say, where do we miss this? How did we not see this? Where did we not see the example of this in Scripture? He says, I will express to you this day what shall be the magnitude of it, what shall be the character of it, and you will know that this is the great day of Yahweh. He said, first of all, it is a day of wrath, exceeding, a day that has exceeding fury. The fury will be so exceedingly great that no one can stand in it. No man, no one is going to stand in it. Well, I don't believe that. I tell you, when that tsunami hit over there in Indonesia, no one stood with that. When Katrina hit the coast of Louisiana, nothing stood. Their monuments, their great statues of wealth and power and strength, nothing stood. And the day of Yahweh, nothing is going to stand. When He pours out His fury, His anger of indignation with a wicked people, nothing is going to stand. Nothing is going to abide in that day. It's a day of wrath, and it's a day of trouble, of great perplexity. The mind not being able to understand the purpose of this. What have I done to procure this day? You've forsaken Yahweh. You've gone astray. You resisted the Torah. You rejected the precepts of Yahweh. They're not lively in your heart. You don't love what He say. You don't honor Him. You don't respect Him. You don't esteem Him. You don't sit with Him and dine with Him. There's no visitation with Him. I was explaining to Brother Jermaine yesterday the beauty of the Shabbat. How that we rest in the bosom of Yahweh and we literally lay our heads in His bosom and to enjoy His presence and the comfort of His comforting. No one takes delight in that today. But the preparation of your flesh, you make sure you prepare for that. Just like Israel, when He said to them on the Shabbat, don't go out and get anything. We make sure that our bellies, and that's the God of our bellies, we look after that on the Shabbat more than our being. We're worried about having something for our bellies on the Shabbat. We will break the Shabbat. We will not be in haste to make preparation for the Shabbat because we're worried about the God that controls you, your own belly, your own gut, your own lust, your own greed. You will defy the Shabbat because of your belly. You will break it. You will not take confidence and solitude in Yahweh because of your own gut. And that's just the truth. He always says it's valuable to me. I want you to remember it. That's His precept. That's His law. You remember that. You prepare for it. You set your mind of the pleasure of the Shabbat. You take great delight in the Shabbat. You cause yourself to be prepared for the Shabbat. You move in that position where your mind is resting. Not being taxed by the powers and the elements of the world. Let every man be a liar. Let Yahweh be truth. Let every concept of man be as the grass of the field. But let every precept of Yahweh, let it abide in us and we abide by it. And we obey what He tells us. We must do that. We must obey Yahweh. You reject Him, then troubles are going to ensue you. And the reason you're troubled is because you have established a God or a pagan idol form of worship, and you are troubled. People are troubled by their children. They are so troubled they can't sleep, by their husbands, their wives. That you have elevated that thing above the strength of Yahweh, and something is wrong. Habashir tell us to cast all our cares upon Yahweh because He cares. You forsake the Torah, the teaching of Yahweh, and try to fight away in your own ways. And it doesn't produce nothing but death and more distress and more destruction and more hatred for Yahweh. You forsake Him even more. And that's why the power of His truth is never operating in your life, because you're trying to figure it out and work it out. And the only way you do it is by obedience. You obey what He tells you. That's not hard. You began to obey and you began to see the work of the Ruah. Once you began to see the work of the Ruah, you began to see the fruit of it. Well, you don't see no fruit because there's nothing there. The scripture tells you what the fruit is of Yahweh. You have nothing there. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you say. You have nothing there. His day is one of great darkness. It's one of trouble and distress. He says a day of wasteness, a day of devastation and ruins. Don't we see the wasteness today? We take the word of Yahweh and we trample upon our feet. We say, this is not for me. I know He was speaking to me. Well, I'm speaking to you. Sure I am. And I don't take nothing back. I would apologize for you, your grandpappy, your grandmammy, your daughter, your daddy. It makes no difference at all. And I use that expression. You think Yahweh's going to apologize to this corrupt, vile people that He has done so much for? Who gave you breath this morning? And yet you didn't even have the gumption or the unction to say, thank you, my Abba. You don't even think like that. You wake up with the same spirit that you went to bed with. One is crazy as hell, wicked. No, not all the children went out in Yisrael and labored on the Shabbat. Only a few didn't. Not all of them. That was some that did not. In this generation, the mass majority, there's not even a thank you, Yahweh, for anything He does. He tells us in all things give thanks. I don't care what it is. You thank Him. When someone is thankful, there's a thankfulness or there's a wonderful expression upon that one. When they are not, you will see the deadness. The wisdom of a man shines in the brightness of his countenance. A woman that is a wise woman, a woman that has wisdom of Yahweh, a woman that is directed by Yahweh, you will see the beauty in her countenance. One that is foolish and ignorant, you will see it in the staunchness of their hardness, their rejection, their folly, and their frivolity. You see it there. And this is a generation of people that loves folly and frivolity. The things of Yahweh, we don't want to talk about those things. We don't want to extrapolate from that what is necessary for me or what I need to maintain this course and walk according to Yahweh's will. We don't want to do that. It is a woman that rivals Him. That is what this thing we call the assembly. It rivals Yahweh. Well, I don't want to see why we have to do that. It's almost like a wife said to the husband, well, why we have to do that? I want to buy that house. He said, nah, that costs too much. Well, why not? Why we can't get it? Why I can't have that? That's what we say to Yahweh. Why I have to do that? Just give me one reason. If He gave you the reason, would you believe it? You know why we have to do it? If I give you the reason, why will you believe me? Will you believe me, son? Because He said it. That's enough reason. You don't need to add anything to that. Once you began to add anything else to it, you began to pollute yourself. Let your yea be yea, your nay be nay. Anything more than that is sin. So when you began to reason, well, I don't understand why, or why it has to be done that way, then you open up yourself to every kind of rebelliousness and every kind of sinful thing it is. And then you look for someone else that will concur with you and walk in the same path that you're walking in. And it's not hard to find someone like that. It's not hard to find someone like that. We must keep ourselves pure and unspotted. And the only way you're going to keep yourself pure, you must be reminded constantly. You must see what's in you. You must see your actions and your deeds. And when you don't see that, then you're going to find yourself far removed from Yahweh. You're going to begin to forsake Him. It's a day of trouble, a day of distress, a day of wasteness, a day of desolation, ruins, a day of darkness, obscurity, a day of gloominess, of calamity, a day of clouds and thick clouds or thick darkness. Now that's Yahweh's day. You look at the mind of this generation. When I go out, I look at people. You can look in their foreheads, their eyes. You see such a thick darkness in them. You don't see any light. Do you understand over there in Rwanda, when they were identifying the Hutus and the Tutsis? You all know how they did that, don't you? Do you know how they did that? I'll tell you. We got time for comic scripts. We got time for everything that is foolish. But we don't have anything that is of any value to understand times and seasons and to understand reasons. We don't have time for that. That the reason or the way they identify the Hutus from the Tutsis, it was just two or three different little things. That they would measure the forehead, the chin, and the nose. And that's how. And some of the Hutus look like the Tutsis. And some of the Tutsis look like the Hutus. But that was the expression of the tribe or distinctions, that the foreheads of the Tutsis was wider. It was different than the foreheads of the Hutus. And so that's how they identified them. And the Hutus that caught the Tutsis, they killed them. And the Tutsis that caught the Hutus, they killed them. It was a genocide. 250,000 people were killed there. The same thing that is happening in Darfur. Very same thing. They're killing them by the hundreds of thousands. What do you think they call them? The Janjaweeds. Janjaweeds. It is simply the devils riding on horseback. That's what it is. That's why they call them Janjaweeds. The devils riding on the horsebacks, and they come to destroy. We are an ignorant generation. We're a generation that will not listen or hear anything that will give us understanding of what Yahweh is doing. That's the way we are. But we will hear all kinds of things that will strengthen our wickedness and our corruption. It's sad too. You can reject that, but it's the truth. It is the truth. I see it in scripture. That's why they went after gods, and that's why they went after other beings to serve them instead of serving Yahweh. And that's what we do. We don't want to hear anything. We think we're wise, but we need to be taught. We need to be taught the first principles and the oracles of Yahweh over again. And that is the truth. He says a day of great darkness is a day of worration, a day of calamity. Now everything that precedes or come before the storm, you know the storm is coming, and these are things that precede, things that come first. So we find this distress in the land today. We find this distress among the people of Yahweh. We have no sense of relationship with Yahweh. That's why we have no sense of relationship with one another. He tells you to love Him first with everything. And then we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Now, do you truly practice that? Don't answer me. Do you truly practice loving your neighbor as you love yourself? Do you truly do what He tells us to do? He tells us to do that, doesn't He? He simply tells you to do it. That's what the Mitzvot say. It says, love your neighbor. In this is the commandments the Mitzvot of Yahweh fulfill. To love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He's not going to make you do that. And He tells you to love your neighbor as you love yourself. The way you treat yourself, the way you do you, will you do your neighbor like that? Are you offended at you when your sins arise? Do you get upset with you when your sins arise and when you commit every kind of vile, egregious thing there is? Do you get upset with you? But if you perceive that someone else has committed a sin, it's a different attitude, isn't it? You don't think on them like you think on yourself. Because your sins are not like your sins. And your value is more important than theirs. This is a wicked generation. It's a generation of people that's very troublesome to Yahweh. It's a generation that is full of trouble. It's full of trouble because they have rejected Him. They have forsaken the Torah. They do not allow the implicit instructions of the Torah to be in their heart. It is not something that they meditate on. It is not something that they think on. It is not that at all. Scripture has no value. There's no love for it. No time for it. Something is wrong. I want you all to hear me. Something is wrong, brothers and sisters. If I can spend 2 hours or hour and a half playing basketball, and yet I spend no time with Yahweh. Something is wrong, brothers and sisters. You spend time worrying about your physical body when you have no time for Yahweh. Something is wrong. That's all you're concerned about, the gluttony of your flesh and being a busybody and taking things and twisting them beyond what was given to you that was twisted. You twisted a little more, give it to someone else, they twisted. And they twisted a little more. That is so twisted and so convoluted and so corrupt that when you receive it, you receive it because your spirit is that way. A wise man, he hears about it and he says, nah, that's not it. I don't believe it went that way. You sure that's the way it went? You sure you got it right? But a fool, he doesn't perceive anything. A wicked man doesn't perceive anything. He doesn't perceive the time. He doesn't understand the devastation of the great storm that is coming. Those foolish folks down there in New Orleans, say what you will of me. As I was saying to Ella Crawford the other day, if they wanted to get drugs, they wanted to buy new $100 titty shoes, they would find some way to get those kinds of things. They just did not take the warning. They did not take the heed of the warning. When they couldn't get out, they get ways to get anything they want, cellular telephones and jewelry and everything else. Don't tell me that they could not have or had a way to get out. They went to that place to party and to do their wickedness, thinking it's going to be a good time to storm Passover, sexual things and drug things. That's why they went there and did that. Raped, drugs, and every kind of foul thing it was. That's where this generation is. Because they don't believe. Well, it's going to pass us. No, it's going to hit you. Well, man, he doesn't have the ability to tell you what's going to happen. Yes, he does. Yahweh gave him the power to understand the signs of the Shemayam, the sun, the moon. He can tell. He can tell you when there's going to be a solar eclipse. A lunar eclipse. Cannot he tell you that? He can tell you that 100 years in advance. So don't tell me what he has to give a man the ability through his ability of science to do that. A man doesn't give him honor for that. So if you know a storm is coming, the old folks knew it. They had no weather report or anything. Old daddy could go out there in the old garden. He could tell you the storm is coming. Lock the cows down. He didn't see a cloud at first. He knew it. He knew that was a time of the season that you prepare for the storms. He knew it. He knew that was a time of the season you prepare for the hurricanes. Start next month, you begin to prepare for hurricanes. You don't prepare then, you begin to prepare yourself now. Because they shall come. They're becoming much more intense than they were. Are they not? Yahweh's going to rip this nation to hell, brothers and sisters. He's going to break it off. He's going to break off her stay of wealth. Her bread basket is going to be broken. This is a nation that has forsaken Yahweh. And I'm talking about those that say they know Him. Everything that it constitutes, it forsakes Yahweh. They're building that memorial up there for 9/11. Do you all hear me? A memorial. Just something to remember or remind us what happened 9/11. The name of Yahweh is a memorial too, all right? They are spending $1 billion just on a memorial. They're spending $1 billion just on some stones, some kind of architectural design. Tell me, $1 billion, you can take that money and feed the whole nation of Haiti. That's this wicked, vile generation that is so corrupt. But they will spend $1 billion... $1 billion on a memorial to put the names of the people there. The dead, once they're in the grave, they have no more remembrance. Period. And yet they're going to make them an everlasting, lively thing. And they will spend $1 billion when there's someone that could use a piece of bread there in Haiti. There's someone that could use a piece of bread there in Liberia. There's someone that can use a piece of bread there in Cuba. There's someone that can use a piece of bread there in the Dominican Republic. And yet they will spend $1 billion in their foolishness and their wickedness on some stones. Probably pay some designer probably $1 million, $2 million just to design some idiotic type thing. Because it is a memorial unto 9/11. Well, what has 9/11 become? It is an idol. It is a god. And every year, 9/11, they will go there. They will recognize. They will cry. They will weep. And you tell me the Shabbat of Yahweh or His mitzvahs are not important unto Him. His name is not valuable. Love from hell. His name is a memorial. But man has forgotten that. They have forsaken that. They have denied it. You wonder why we are cursed? Because we have denied Yahweh. And this nation is cursed. I don't care what you say, because we have goods. Our goods, we have food, don't we? Yet we're the most grotesque people. We're the most unnourished people. Our bodies don't even function right. We have some of the finest institutions in the world, don't we? We're the most sickly people in the world. We have some of the best psychologists and psychiatrists, don't we? And yet the autism children or the mentally retarded children are coming out by one in every 160 is mentally retarded. You mamas and daddies here, you better not knock on wood. You ought to bless Yahweh and shout, even in all of your rejection and your wicked denial and your filthy ways, your foul nature, Because there were one just born or autism and twisted the mind, twisted why? Because they have gone away from the truths of Yahweh. Our grandpappies and grandmammies, they didn't have knowledge, but they understood discipline. And there were truths that were taught in the old Baptist house that gave them a knowledge of Yahweh's truth. And they held fast to it. They did it in ignorance, but they held fast to it. You didn't find no mentally retarded children like that. You didn't find them in the 50s, growing up in the 40s. The 70s and 80s, because of this illegitimacy and the mentality of this generation, you find these crazy babies, twisted minds. They have not committed any sins. It is the sins of rejecting the Torah of their parents' parents, and their parents rejecting it. He has brought the curse upon them. Their minds are twisted where they can never maintain some kind of sense of whom Yahweh is. Believe me, he killed the babies of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. You can get all mushy all you want to. Yahweh is a killing machine when he kills. You say whatever you will. You can think of any way you want to. He tells you to receive my truth, to love me, and you have life. You reject it, you're going to have death. So the mindset, because of this trouble today, you find twisted babies, their mindset, the mental deformity of the mind today. And even those that you think of, form right, they're dysfunctional. And they're deformed. They can't even think right. They're so twisted. They don't even have the ability to articulate anything right. They can't move beyond their little social circle because they're so ignorant. And that's the truth. He said, you've rejected me. You rejected my truth and they won't to you. But he gives his people a warning, a good consolation. I want to read this. I want you to turn to Hosea chapter 9:7. He says in Nahum, he says, Yahweh is good. Nahum 1:7. You turn to Hosea chapter 9 verse 7. I want to read this in Nahum chapter 1 verse 7. Yahweh is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them that trust in him. Well, how does he know those? Or how does he know those that trust in him? How does Yahweh know that? How does he know you trust in him? How? You can't answer that? How does he know you trust in him? Huh? Say what? Because we keep his mitzvahs. We do what he commands us to do. He knows those that trust him. You trust what he commanded you to do. He knows you trust him. You don't do what he commands. He knows you don't trust him. There was a time when we did our ignorance. Our forefathers, he knew they were ignorant. Men had brought them under schisms and false doctrines. And Yahweh said, I understand. That's all right. He's still mine. That's mine. They understand. They know. It's just the power of that truth. It's a reveal unto them. Israel was his from day one to 425 years. They were still his. They were his. You think that just Israel there, those that were worshiping idols, he didn't deliver them too? He didn't bring them out? He brought them all out. He said, Pharaoh, not one of them. Even Yosef said, when you leave out, take my bones. Don't even leave my bones here. I don't want no remnant of my bones left here. Take everything. Yahweh brought everything out. Believe me, he brought it all out. And they went right out and they sinned against him. They sinned against him. They sinned. They began to pursue the gods of Egypt. That's what we have done. We pursue the gods of Egypt, our lust and our flesh and our greed. That's not what Yahweh wants. He knows those that trust in him. And those that trust Yahweh will obey him. They will keep his mitzvahs. They will keep his precepts, his concepts, his instructions, his ordinance. HaMashiach kept everything that was in the Torah. And for these perverts to tell you he did not, they're liars. He called his Abba by name. This is the hand of man, the KJV, and other inscriptions that have taken out his name. He called his Abba by his name. He did not call him Lord or God, these pagan expressions. They're pagan. They have nothing to do with Yahweh. He is Yahweh. His name is self-descriptive of who he is, the mighty one, the almighty one, the creator of all. That's who he is. No one like him. No one. I want you to hear this in Hosea. It says in the 9th chapter, verse 7, it says, the day of visitation, the days of visitation are come. The days of recompense, you're going to have to pay for what you've done, they are come.